Come let us adore him. Sing this out with us.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem.
Come and behold.
Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. And sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all ye citizens of heaven.
Glory to God.
Take a seat. While you're sitting, let's sing that chorus out one more time. Let's sing it out to the one that we're here to worship.
We adore you. We adore you. We adore you, Jesus.
Sing that out with us.
We adore you. We adore you. We adore you, Jesus.
In the beginning was the Word.
God began to create the heavens and the earth.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
The earth was without shape or form, and shadows covered the face of the deep, while a Spirit from God swept over the face of the waters.
The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being.
God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
What came into through him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines through the shadows, and the shadows do not overcome it.
And God saw that the light was good.
The true light, which shines on all people, was coming into the world. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become God's children, born not from blood or from human desire or passion, but born from God.
Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us, so that they may take charge of the fish and of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock and all the earth, and all the crawling things on earth." So God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image of God created them. Male and female, God created them.
The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was supremely good.
From the fullness of the Word made flesh, we have all received grace upon grace.
And he who was before there was light walked across the pages of time. He who made every living thing, behold him. He who heard humanity's cry left his throne to wake as a child. He became like the least of us. Behold him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him.
Holy, holy, holy.
And
receive all praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy to receive all praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy.
Sit back and relax. The story I'm going to read you took place 77 years ago, this Christmas Eve. We're going to read from someone who was there. He was a boy at the time. He was a man when he wrote the story down. That many years ago, it was a very different place. And yet, in so many ways the same. It was Christmas Eve, 1942. I was 15 years old and feeling like the world had caved in on me because there just hadn't been enough money to buy me the rifle that I wanted for Christmas. We did chores early that night for some reason. I just figured Daddy wanted a little extra time so we could read the Bible. After supper, I took off my boots and stretched out in front of the fireplace and waited for Daddy to get down the old Bible. I was feeling sorry for myself, to be honest. I wasn't in much of a mood to read the scriptures. But Daddy didn't get the Bible down. Instead, he bundled up again and went outside. I couldn't figure it out because we had already done all the chores. I didn't worry about it long. I was way too busy wallowing in self-pity. Soon he came back in. It was cold and clear, a brisk night out, and there was ice on his beard. "Come on, Matt," he said. "Bundle up good. It's cold out tonight." I was really upset then. Not only was I not getting a rifle for Christmas, now he was dragging me out into the cold and for no earthly reason that I could see. We'd already done all the chores, and I couldn't think of anything else that needed doing, especially not on a light night like this. But I knew he was not a very patient one when it came to dragging one's feet. So when he told us to do something, we did it. So I got up and put on my boots and my coat. Mommy gave me a strange smile as I opened the door to leave the house. Something was up, but I didn't know what. Outside, I became even more dismayed. There in front of the house was the work team, already hitched to the big sled. Whatever it is we were going to do wasn't going to be short or quick or a little job. I could tell that. We never hitched up this sled unless we were going to haul a big load. Daddy was already up on the seat, reins in hand. I reluctantly climbed up beside him. The cold was already biting at me, and I wasn't happy. When I was on, Daddy pulled the sled around the house and stopped in front of the woodshed. He got off, and I followed. "I think we better put the high boards on," he said. "Here, help me." The high boards? It had been a bigger job than I wanted to do with the low sideboards. Whatever it is we were going to do is going to be a lot bigger than I wanted it to be. Then Daddy went into the woodshed and came out with an armload of wood. The wood that I had spent all summer hauling down from the mountain, and then all fall sawing into blocks and splitting. What was he doing? Finally, I said something. I asked, "What are you doing?" "You been by Widow Jensen's lately?" he asked. Mrs. Jensen lived about 2 miles down the road. Her husband had died a year or so before and left her with 3 children, the oldest being 8. "Sure, I've been by, but so what?" "Yeah," I said, "why?" "I rode by just today," he said. Little Jakey was out digging around in the woodpile trying to find a few chips. "They're out of wood, Matt." That was all he said. And then he turned and went back into the woodshed for another armload of wood. I followed him. We loaded the sled so high, I began to wonder if the horses would be able to pull it. Finally, he called a halt to our loading, and then we went to the smokehouse, and he took down a big ham and a side of bacon. He handed them to me and told me to put them in the sled and wait. When he returned, he was carrying a sack of flour over his right shoulder and a small sack of something in his left hand. "What's in the little sack?" I asked. "Shoes. They're out of shoes." Little Jakey just had gunny sacks wrapped around his feet when he was out in the woodpile this morning. And I got the children a little candy, too. It just wouldn't be Christmas without a little candy. We rode the 2 miles to Mrs. Jensen's, pretty much in silence. I tried to think through what Daddy was doing. We didn't have much by worldly standards. Of course, we did have a big wood pile, though most of that was gone now, except what was in the form of logs, which I now would have to saw into blocks and split again. We also had meat and flour, so we could spare that. But I knew we didn't have any money, so why was he buying them shoes and candy? Really, why was he doing any of this? Widow Jensen had closer neighbors than us. It shouldn't have been our concern. When we came in from the blind side of the Jensen home and unloaded the wood as quietly as possible, and then we took the meat and the flour and the shoes to the door. We knocked. The door opened, just a crack, and a timid voice said, "Who is it?" "Lucas Miles, ma'am, and my son Matt. Could we come in for a bit?" Mrs. Jensen opened the door and let us in. She had a blanket wrapped around her shoulders. The children were wrapped by another blanket and were sitting right in front of the fireplace, a very small fire, and they were as close as they could get because it was hardly giving off any heat at all. Mrs. Jensen fumbled with a match and lit the lamp. They'd been sitting there in the darkness. "We brought you a few things, ma'am," Daddy said, and set down the sack of flour. I put the meat on the table, and then he handed her a sack that had the shoes in it. She opened it hesitantly and took the shoes out, one pair at a time. There was a pair for her and one for each of the children, sturdy shoes, the best shoes, the kind that would last. I watched her carefully. She bit her lower lip to keep it from trembling. And then tears filled her eyes and started running down her cheeks. She looked up at my daddy like she wanted to say something, but it wouldn't come out. "We brought a load of wood too, ma'am," he said. Then he turned to me and said, "Matt, go bring in enough to last a while. Let's get a fire up to size and heat this place up." I wasn't the same person when I went back out to bring in the wood. I had a big lump in my throat. And as much as I hate to admit it, there were tears in my eyes too. In my mind, I kept seeing those three kids huddled around that fireplace, and the mother standing there with tears running down her cheeks, with so much gratitude in her heart that she couldn't even speak. My heart swelled within me, and a joy that I had never known before filled my soul. I had given at Christmas many times before, but never when it had made so much difference. I could see that we were literally saving their lives. I soon had a fire blazing and everyone's spirits soared. The kids started giggling when Daddy handed each of them a piece of candy, and Mrs. Jensen looked on with a smile that probably hadn't crossed her face for a long time. She finally turned to us. "God bless you," she said. "I know the Lord has sent you. The children and I have been praying. We prayed that God would send one of his angels to spare us." In spite of myself, the lump returned to my throat and the tears welled up in my eyes again. I never thought of my daddy in those exact terms before, but after Widow Jensen mentioned it, I could see that it was probably true. I was sure that a better man than Daddy had never walked the earth. I started remembering all the times he'd gone out of his way for Mommy and me and many others. The list seemed as endless the more I thought on it. Daddy insisted that everyone try on the shoes before we left. I was amazed when they all fit, and I wondered, how did he know what sizes to get? And then I guessed, if he was on an errand for the Lord would tell them which sizes to get. Tears were running down Widow Jensen's face again when we stood to leave, and my daddy took each of the kids in his big arms and gave them a hug. They clung to him and didn't want us to go. I could see that they missed their daddy, and I was glad I still had mine. At the door, we turned to Widow Jensen and said, or at the door, he turned to Widow Jensen and said, "The missus wanted me to invite you and the children over for Christmas dinner tomorrow. The turkey will be more than the three of us can eat, and a man can get cantankerous if he has to eat too much turkey for too many meals. We'll be by to get you at 11. It'll be nice to have some little ones around again. My two brothers and sisters were all married, and they had moved away." Mrs. Jensen nodded and said, "Thank you, Brother Miles. I don't have to say, may the Lord bless you. I know for certain he will." Out on that sled, I felt a warmth that came from deep within. I didn't even notice the cold. When we had gone a ways, Daddy turned to me and said, "Matt, I want you to know something. Your mother and me have been tucking away a little money here and there all year so we could buy that rifle for you. But we didn't have quite enough. And then yesterday, a man who owed me a little money from years back came by to make things square. Your mom and me were real excited, thinking that now we could get you that rifle. And so I started into town this morning to do just that. But on the way, I saw little Jakey out scraping in the woodpile with his feet wrapped in those gunny sacks. And I knew what I had to do. Son, I spent the money for those shoes and a little candy for those children. I sure hope you can understand." I understood. My eyes became wet with tears again. I understood very well. And I was so glad Daddy had done that. Now the rifle seemed very low on my list of priorities. He had given me a lot more. He had given me that look on Mrs. Jensen's face and the radiant smiles of her three children. For the rest of my life, whenever I saw the Jensens or split a block of wood, I remembered. And remembering brought back that same joy I felt riding home beside my daddy that night. He had given me much more than a rifle that night. He had given me the best Christmas of my life. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet hundreds of years before. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. We celebrate Christmas. We give gifts. There's lots of joy. And for good reason. Because there are that reminder of a God whose heart is so for us, loves us with a passion that we would never understand. A God who, although he didn't need us, wanted a relationship with us, with you. A God who knew that there was a separation There is the division. The relationship had been broken by our sin. So he stepped into our world and took the penalty of sin on himself so that he could offer every one of us a gift. A gift that is forgiveness. A gift that is restored relationship. A gift that is adoption in his family and a promise of living with him forever. I pray that you've accepted that gift because it's for you. Father, thanks. Thanks for this special reminder, this special season that gives us just a taste of your heart for us, how much you love us. Every person in this room, you know each individual. You know who they are. You know their history. You know their past. You know the things that they carried into this room tonight. Some of them, the weight. You know that some are convinced that you could never love them, and yet you love them so much. Thank you for offering us this gift. I pray that no one leaves this room tonight without receiving it. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Well, church, let's close with some singing. Would you stand with me if you're able?
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joy.
Sing it out.
Jesus, Jesus,
let it be true.
My heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus. You're the name above all names. You're worthy. You are worthy of all praise.
And my heart will sing.
And my heart will sing. How great is our God.
One more time. Name above all names.
You're the name above all. You are worthy of all.
My heart will sing.
And my heart will sing. How great is our God.
How great is our God. Sing that out with us.
How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. Oh, see how great is our God. And how great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. Oh, our God, sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
the songs of the angels is stilled, and the star in the sky is gone, and the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are brought back with their flocks. Then the work of Christmas begins, to find the lost, to heal those broken in spirit, to feed the hungry, to release the oppressed, to rebuild nations, to bring peace among all peoples, to make a little music with the heart, and mostly to radiate the light of Christ every day, in every way, in all we do, and in all we say. Then the work of Christmas begins. Our prayer for you is this Christmas that you're surrounded by loved ones, that you know that you're surrounded by a God who loves you more than you will ever understand, and that every gift that's passed between you reminds you of that very special gift, God's grace and forgiveness, that first Christmas evening. Good night. Merry Christmas. God bless.